today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Hey, Jim, do you think it's true that we get wiser as we get older?
It's hard to say, Patrick. Most days, I feel like a rookie.
Amen, brother.
All right, Patrick, we've heard from everyone. Everyone.
We have.
Around the world.
Yeah.
On their favorite music of 2020. And so after all of that, we're going to make our picks, all right? And
yes.
We should also say once again that everyone who called in, we thank you so much for telling us about your favorite music of 2020. And you're going to get a mix CD that will combine many songs that we liked from the previous year, and that'll all be together. But today, on Rockin' the Suburbs, I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
Today, we're going to just each pick one, just like the listeners did, one favorite album, one favorite song, right?
That's right.
Okay.
That's the plan.
All right.
And I'm going to lead it off.
Go for it.
Thank you. And so I want to thank those folks who have also sent in their broader list, like their top 10 or their top 10 songs. You know, Adam Koop and others have done this, and we've been running those in our Friday newsletter. So you're going to hear, you're going to be able to see mine anyway. I've got a list here of 7 or 8 and a few songs. So I'll put that together. I won't take up our time here mentioning that.
But that's good.
Okay. So look for a whole bunch of other stuff that I may probably have talked about in our new music episodes. But I'm going to start with a song. My song of the year would have to be from a band called Corky. And that is a band featuring Ian MacKay, Amy Farina, and Joe Lally. Joe and Ian play together in probably the band I've seen the most live in my life was Fugazi. So I'm really blessed to have been around DC when they started, and I saw their third ever show, and when it was just a trio, and I've just saw them every single time I could see them. They played a ton of free shows. Even my wife's seen them probably 7 or 8 times. But Corky was a real revelation. I mean, there was rumors that they were playing and they were recording songs, and Amy and Ian have a band called The Evens, and I think this record and this band hits somewhere between Fugazi and The Evens, and I think that was kind of the idea. And there's a song on this record which came out in June of this year, and it's called Hard to Explain. And for me, you know, every single day during last year, it seemed like I woke up and something happened that it's like, I have no idea. Like, I'm just sitting there with my mouth hanging open. Like, how could I possibly explain this in a rational world? So without going too much into the darkness, this kind of summed up some of the pain and bewilderment that I was feeling during this year. So let's hear Hard to Explain.
Would you please? All I do is left you disease.
There's such a like quiet intensity to that song.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It hits a beautiful midpoint, like I said, between Fugazi and the Evens. And gosh, if you're a fan of Ian's work and you don't know the Evens, you know, you should really, really check that band out. They made some amazing records. But, you know, just like Ian has been doing ever since, you know, he wrote the song Straight Edge or, you know, Screaming at a Wall, he's figuring out a certain kind of truth that he detects. And I've always appreciated his honesty and unflinching view of the world. And just like back then, this was recorded at Inner Ear Studios with Don Zientara, who's been on our podcast at the helm. And they just go in and cut the record in an honest, straightforward and intense way. And, it's been a huge part of my life. And I'm so happy that this record came out in 2020 and, it speaks a lot of truth to me. And that, you know, Ian's been a person who's made a big impact on my life and my listening. And so happy that there's new music from him and that, you can hear Amy's amazing drumming and Joe's amazing bass playing on this record.
Yeah, so for sure.
It's great all around, but that's the song that spoke to me the most, you know, during this crap ass year that we just got through. And, you know, as we've said a million times, let's hope things are headed in the right direction. Now I want to turn to my album. This is a record I talked about, April, back on episode 832, we were doing March New Music, and the artist is Shabaka and the Ancestor. Shabaka Hutchins is an amazing saxophone player. I won't repeat a bunch of stuff I said back there, but if you go back and listen to that episode, it was posted on April 9th, 2020, actually, my youngest daughter's birthday, April 9th. The record is called We Are Sent Here by History. It came out on Impulse Records in March. And one thing I think that you know, really resonated with me with this record, Jim, is that it's kind of a healing experience in a similar way to like A Love Supreme by Coltrane. I'm not saying it's on that level, but it's an amazing, amazing record. It combines all the influences that I love. It's got jazz in there. It's got African pop music. It's got world music in it. All the stuff that, you know, heals me and makes me feel good. And during this turbulent time, I was, you know, very, very, very touched and flattered by all the people who called in and said, you know, Jim and Patrick, your podcast mm-hmm. gave me, you know, 30 minutes of respite, you know, each day. And this record, did that for me. It gave me, you know, sort of that 40 minutes of respite. Again, We Are Sent Here by History. It's a record that kind of, to me, the themes are about, the past and the future, but also I gleaned from this, Jim, that, you know, bad things have happened throughout history, and forces, you know, without getting too mystical here, forces are out there constantly at work. And a lot of times it's about keeping your internal compass set to, you know, to the right places. And for me, it's always been music, and it's always been jazz, and it's always been, you know, punk rock coming out of DC and all that stuff. But this record just, and the themes and the song titles, I'll just read a couple of them here. The Coming of the Strange Ones, They Who Must Die, Go My Heart, Go to Heaven, Behold the Deceiver, Till the Freedom Comes Home, Finally the Man Cried, Teach Me How to Be Vulnerable, We Will Work on Redefining Manhood. So all of this just resonated. And the music is so impossibly beautiful. It just takes me to a place when I put it on, and I probably put it on, you know, every morning.
Wow.
You know, for like 30 days running and just listen to it. It just puts you in that place where you can relax a little bit and concentrate and get away. And I don't know. For me, jazz has always been like, you know, there's a little mind movie that kind of plays out while you're listening to it. And so, like Scott Parks said the other day, when he was talking about the Tobin Sprout album, which is kind of a piece, this is very, very much of a piece. It's hard to dig into it and get something. But why don't we hear a little bit of the fifth track, Run, The Darkness Will Pass. And I think it'll give you a little sense of kind of what I'm talking about, hopefully, and another little taste of this amazing, amazing record we are sent here by history. Gives you a little taste of what it's like, and if anybody's weird enough to want to know what I'm doing in the morning, I'm sitting here with my green headphones on, listening to Chewbacca and the Ancestors. We are centered by history, and Chewbacca Hutchins is, you know, he's like so many great jazz musicians. He works in so many, you know, different combinations and duos and trios and quartets and all over the place, which is one of the things I've always loved about jazz. And the last thing I'll say about this is that I also read a wonderful book this year. Haven't got around to any book nooks recently. We've been so busy. But there's a book published in 2007 called The House That Train Built, The Story of Impulse Records by Ashley Kahn. It's a wonderful book that talks about that super influential label with their classic orange and white and black design, and so many great albums came out on that label. And I'm so thrilled to have a new Impulse record that came out in 2020 on vinyl, you know, that carries on that tradition. So thank you very much, folks, for listening to me ramble, and thanks to Quirky and Chewbacca Hutchins and the Ancestors for doing those two things that really kept me going through this year. So that's it.
All right. That's wonderful. And I had forgotten about the Chewbacca and the Ancestors when you were brought that up before. So now I'm kind of excited because
definitely
this is really good music to have just on around the house, I think.
Yes.
You know, I mean, obviously there's something about listening to it intently, but there's also something about this music just kind of like kind of washing over you.
Totally. And that's, you know what I mean? That's what I do too. Yeah. I mean, it's no matter how you're feeling, you know, you wake up, you kind of do your routine, you sit down to start to work, and you're into it for a little while. Then you put it on and let it wash over you. It is very much like that. You're going through your routine and it helps you get in that place you need to be during that day. Yeah. And it's just so beautiful.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I hope everybody gives it a shot.
Okay. So Corky and Chewbacca and the Ancestors. From 2020.
DC punk and African jazz. There you go.
All right.
What a surprise.
This is interesting to me because my favorite album of 2020 is kind of sort of similar in a way. So this is going to be something. Now, the people who listen every day, I salute you. And in some ways, maybe perhaps I pity you, but I appreciate you more than anything. And
totally.
You have probably heard me gush a little bit about these two bands I'm going to talk about today, because I brought them up when these records came out in our new music episodes. And then I went back and I checked and I brought them up again when we did a little mid-year report on our favorite stuff.
Yep.
And now they're coming up again for my favorites of 2020. That's how much I love these records. These are both from albums that I own the physical, you know, vinyl of. That's how much I like them, that I went out and got
there you go
you know new vinyl records, which are not cheap, by the way. No. These days, right? So in the age of streaming, where you can just sort of listen to anything, I think it says something when you go out and actually buy the vinyl record, right?
Or order it, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the other, you know, to me, the other metric was sort of like, just what did I listen to the most over and over again? And I kept coming back to this one album, I think, probably more than anything, right? So I'm going to start with my favorite album of the year. It is Foo Chronicles by Antiballis.
Oh, wow. It is kind of similar. That's cool. That was on my list. Yep.
Yep. So, you know, it's an Afrobeat record, right?
Definitely.
Although they're a New York band, you know, Brooklyn-based band. This album was recorded in Brooklyn. But, man, when you hear it, you think it's of that, you know, authentic style, right? Of Afrobeat, right? And you know much more about this kind of music than I do. In fact, I credit you with kind of turning me on to Afrobeat. It wasn't something I really knew much about at all before we started our podcasting adventures. But I did know Daptone Records, and I'm a big fan of Daptone and sort of like all the stuff they put out. And I listened to this over and over and over again. It's only six songs, but, you know, some of the, they're a little bit longer songs than, you know, what Americans would consider. You know, pop music. I think the shortest one here is 6:30, but none of them are like crazy, like, you know, Fish jams. They're like, you know, the longest one is it's 10 minutes. But anyway, but the other thing I love about this so much, I really, really love the horns in this. Yeah. You know, this is a big group, 12 to 15 members or something like that. Yeah. I think it kind of varies and different people float in and out, but they do such a great job with the horn parts are so like urgent and so punchy and so driving the songs forward. They don't use the horns as just sort of accents. You know what I mean? It's like right there, front and center, not through the entire song, but just like at the right times when it's like, and it's so great. And there's just sort of a there's like an underlying groove, but there's sort of like I said, like a real punch. And it also makes sense too that this album Foo Chronicles is a lot of the inspiration has to do with things like martial arts and stuff like that.
Yeah,
I think is what what the band was thinking of and writing songs about. And that's not a world I really know that much about at all, but I find myself listening to this sort of it does sort of take you away and it makes you feel like you're maybe somewhere else for those moments that you listen to it. Right. So I don't know. And so I think in both of my picks, you'll hear the other one too, in a similar way, there's a bit of escapism, which maybe made a lot of sense in 2020 as well.
Totally.
Right.
Okay. Absolutely.
All right. I've played a couple other tracks from Foo Chronicles, earlier. So I'm going to play another one that, we have not heard on this podcast. This is the beginning of the song MTTT Parts 1 and 2, which gives you a sense of, you know, how big these songs are, right? All right, here we go.
An African proverb says, "The truth in the morning becomes daylight with time." MTTT, mother talker, tick-tock. Tick-tock, tick. Everybody,
tick tock tick,
gbogbo aye,
tick tock tick,
egboran o,
tick tock tick,
time go dey go,
tick tock tick,
just like that,
tick tock tick,
it go dey tick,
tick tock tick,
and talk to you,
tick tock tick,
yeah,
tick tock tick,
when you're not looking,
tick tock tick, tick tock tick,
yeah.
Tick-tock, 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 tick-tock,
All right, so there you go. And the song goes off in some different directions and comes back to the theme and all kinds of stuff. It's really, I don't know. I just, to me, this album works, again, kind of, it works as sort of background music when you're doing other things. It works as driving music. It works when you want to sit down and listen to a record. It works when you're out on
Want to dance?
Yep. Yeah. It's yes. It gets you sort of like, it makes you happy.
It does.
It works when you're sitting out on the back deck drinking a beer, you know, whatever. Yep. It's just really... Yep. I don't know. I've listened to this so many times. I just love it. So
I think it's such a wonderful album too, Jim. And two things I want to say. Your point about the horns was so well placed, and also, you know, listening to just that part of the, you know, the first couple minutes or an excerpt of that song, not only concentrated on the bright horns that are a little higher in the register, but what about those low horns, right, that also give you the, I don't know if they're deep saxophones, is that what it is? So, yeah, like a not a baritone saxophone.
It is a baritone saxophone.
Okay, yeah.
Is one of them.
Yeah, and they kind of punch you in the gut, you know, while the other stuff is brighter. It's really great.
Well, you're exactly right. And it helps that one of the leaders of Antiballast is a baritone saxophone player.
Okay.
So it's a lot of it's built around that sort of low end, like you're talking, which kind of fits in nicely with that bass line and everything.
Totally.
And then, and you think of, I mean, obviously, when you think of any kind of like music that's based on like, you know, soul or funk or whatever, the bass is super important to that.
Yes.
So those, you're right. Identifying that, you know, I think the horns a lot of it start with those low saxophones.
Yeah.
But then what's really cool about those horn charts, you know, they put together too is like how layered they are. The horns aren't all doing the
that's
same
amazing.
Thing. They're sort of playing off each other, right?
Yeah, you get that bright and the dark at the same time.
It's great.
It's beautiful.
I love it. Okay, so that leads me to my favorite song of 2020.
Yeah.
Again, Feel Good. It's kind of escapist in a way, in sort of a sense of time more than place. So, and Trust in a Label. So this particular band is on Bloodshot Records, which is another one of my favorites.
Yeah, me too.
So let this band Rookie take you back to the like 70s FM radio kind of thing, right?
And all right.
Sometimes we just need that feeling of just like, you know, what makes you feel good as a music fan. And I think that 2020 was one of those times, right? And so,
amen.
This particular song, there's quite a few songs I liked on their self-titled debut album, but this song here, I Can't Have You, But I Want You.
A hot mess, she won't let you know it, yeah, she's business all the time, but you caught her walking by, and she's got that face of vision, yeah, her gun is her eye, you wonder if she looks at you, are you gonna die?
Doesn't that take you back to like T-tops and
really does.
8-tracks and what have you?
I'll just say really quick, man, I've listened to that song before and think it's such a great choice. Really, really great choice for Song of the Year. Well done, Jim. And I heard a little bit of Big Star in there for the first time. And like those descending riffs, I don't know why that hasn't occurred to me. I was thinking more, you know, like James Gang every time I listen to this record. But man, there's some beautiful pop, just descending riffs in there.
Oh, for sure. I think, you know, I think this is a band that is very influenced by not just sort of classic rock, but like power pop for sure, you know,
and
you can, and they're out of Chicago, which is sort of like, you know, a power pop kind of city.
Totally.
And, you can tell, they actually toured, with Cheap Trick,
at
one point. So you can hear that kind of thing. They have three guitars in the band. They have that organ. You can hear a little bit of that organ in there. It just, you know, this is a, it just got that super hooky chorus too. That's like a sing-along chorus, right?
Oh my gosh. Beautiful. Yeah.
I love it. I just love it. So
I love that line. When I said, I could be anything you wanted. That's so great. Right. You know, and the response to that. So beautiful. What a great choice.
All right. So there you go. Those are my two for 2020. All right. Now,
that's it. We're out of ideas.
That's it. We finally can put that year behind us, right?
That's
right. The good thing is that the music, you can still enjoy.
That's right.
And keep that with you. And I think, I also think this has a potential to be one of those years where, because of the circumstances of 2020, we'll look back and really remember the music that we listened to this year.
Without a doubt. Time-stamped,
don't you think?
Listening to these calls, and thanks again, everybody. There were some deep bonds forged with this music. It really did help get us through this. So thanks again to everybody. And I think we all felt it really, really deep this year, how important it is. And, you know, like you said, Jim, anybody who listens every day is sick with it like we are. So. Yep.
Okay, let's get out of here. We'll move on to other things. We got some patron episodes coming up, some interviews, all
good
kinds
stuff.
Of stuff planned, and then pretty soon we'll be back into the new music episodes for 2021.
Right. Can't wait.
All right. Okay, I think that's about it. So let's get out of here. It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
Talk to you all later.
Give your money to them, people.